From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Rasha McChesney with this look at local and statewide news. The Alaska legislature is scheduled to meet for the first day of its fourth special session on Monday, but state leaders are divided over whether the session should even happen. Today, House Speaker Louise Stutes urged Governor Mike Dunleavy to cancel the session, citing the COVID-19 surge.
I think that we should be doing everything possible to help prevent the spread of COVID and gathering all the legislators and their staff. So you're talking, you know, 150, 200 people together in the Capitol, needlessly, just doesn't make sense.
In response to a question about Stutes' position, a Dunleavy spokesperson said the governor is not canceling the special session. Stutes pointed out in a letter to Dunleavy that Alaska is leading the nation and is among the leaders worldwide in the spread of the virus recently. She wrote that there isn't a consensus on the items that the governor has made the focus of the session, which include enshrining the permanent fund dividend in the state constitution, lowering the limit on state spending, and raising taxes or other revenue. Stutes also said a fourth special session would be incredibly costly. Representative Kathy Tilton says she was disappointed with Stutes' request to cancel the special session.
My immediate reaction was that it was yet another disappointment to think that we do not want to move forward in coming up with a comprehensive fiscal plan for the state of Alaska.
Tilton says the COVID-19 surge isn't a reason to cancel the session, saying that she believes in, quote, personal responsibility regarding the pandemic. Matt Miller has been the voice of KTOO's morning news since 1998. But Thursday was his last day as our morning edition host. Before he stepped away, Matt sat down with KTOO's Bridget Dowd to discuss what the job has meant to him.
What's been the hardest part of your job?
It's basically getting up at 3:20 every morning and having to have two alarm clocks set in order to get up. And when the weather's really bad in the winter, sometimes it's a little bit of a trick to get across the Douglas Bridge in order to get in on time before the first newscast. That's kind of the hardest thing. It's overturned my sleep schedule, and you don't have much of a social life because you're going to bed at about the same time that everybody else is out having fun at night.
And what's been the best part of your job?
Best part of the job is being able to talk and connect up with the people of Juneau and bring them the stories that I sort of think that they need to hear in order to start their day. And radio is a real powerful medium. And when you're producing stories for radio, you're taking advantage of the listener's own imagination to draw a picture that's probably more indelible sometimes than perhaps television and even print.
What has it been like to be Juneau's first connection to what's happening every day? Has it changed what it's like to live here for you?
It's been fun. Like I said before, I like connecting with the Juneau audience. And as a result, I've become a little bit more connected since I've been here to the community. I've stayed here a lot longer than I thought I was going to stay, and I've kind of put down roots. And so I've really come to appreciate the community and the people since I've been here and since I've worked here at the KTOO.
Do you have any stories from trekking to the office early in the morning or interesting things that happened during your early morning shift?
There's probably a lot of little different things that have happened, not really significant. It just kind of comes as part of the job. I remember one day in this particular studio, which is the air studio for Morning Edition, being live on the air. And because of construction that was underway at the time, a board that was behind the door fell down and essentially locked us all out of the studio while we were live on the air. So that was a little frustrating, a little bit of a panic. There's only one door into the studio, for those who don't know, and there's no other way to get in here. One of my memories in getting to the station early in the morning, I think that really kind of sticks with me, is one night we had a real heavy snowfall and the plow trucks had not been out, and I couldn't get my truck out of the driveway and even drive to work. So I had to put on snowshoes and just kind of hoof it into the station, you know, in a blizzard.
A very uniquely Alaskan thing to do. What's the strangest story you've covered?
There was an event several years ago that included some people who had just kind of plopped into town, and it was kind of nebulous. It wasn't quite clear what it was they were doing, but they were soliciting donations of merchandise from local businesses for this kind of undefined event. And there are a lot of good organizations in town for fundraising purposes that go to local businesses for this sort of thing. But the people who came into town were obviously from out of town. And as it turned out, this merchandise were being used as prizes in order to lure people into this kind of evangelical revival type of event, which was spearheaded by this kind of D-list community access TV evangelist who had come up here. And that was kind of the strangest thing.
What's your favorite story you've covered?
So when I first started here at KTOO, one of the things that was kind of not really well known was a shipwreck that happened just north here of Juneau, a century ago now. That was the wreck of the Princess Sophia, and I did a mini documentary, a couple features on that. Some other things that I've kind of had an interest in, and it's really been kind of satisfying, you know, working on stories that kind of have an impact on Alaskans. One of them was about 2014, 2015, there was something really weird that was happening in the North Pacific and Gulf of Alaska with water temperatures, and there was nobody else covering it, and nobody else doing stories about that at the time. And it turned out to have enormous impacts on seabirds, marine mammals, and whales, and fin fish in the state, and that, of course, was the blob. And then other stories that are really kind of satisfying are ones that, when it comes to like the court system and the justice system in the state, where there are issues with the pandemic and trials being postponed or budget cuts and people not getting the legal aid that they need in order to pursue their own legal issues. That's really been fun and fulfilling in order to do stories like that.
I'm going to throw another one in here really quick because I know you've been sort of the natural disaster reporter around here. You seem to be the avalanche guy, the every disaster kind of guy. How did you get an interest in that and how did that start?
I don't know if it one particular event started that or one particular story that started that. I do remember several years ago that Capital City Fire Rescue put on a one-day crash course firefighting training for members of the media and the assembly, and I took part in that. And that kind of spawned a whole bunch of different stories and kind of solidified the connection to emergency services and disasters, if you will, you know, and that kind of evolved eventually into, like you said, avalanches and, you know, search dog training and that sort of thing.
Is there anything else that you want to say to the people who've been listening to you for so long?
Just thanks for listening. Keep listening to KTOO. We have a crack team here in the news department who are probably not only best in Southeast, but probably the best in the entire state. And even if I'm gone, they'll continue to bring you the news and information that you need and just keep listening. And I'll be around in town for a while, at least anyways.
All right. Well, thank you for sitting down and talking to me. And I know a lot of people are going to miss you. So best of luck and anything you do next.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And tribal citizens and delegates gathered today for the Central Council of Tlingit and Haida Indian Tribes of Alaska's annual tribal assembly. It's the 86th year of the assembly. The time is used to update tribal delegates and citizens on the past year. It's also when the tribe adopts resolutions and holds elections for its delegates. Right now, there are 119 delegates in the tribe's assembly. They represent tribal citizens and communities throughout Southeast Alaska, Anchorage, Seattle, and San Francisco. Chasyaish Richard Peterson is Tlingit and Haida's president. During his tribal address, he talked about its advocacy efforts, tribal businesses, expanding the Tlingit and Haida campus, and how the tribe has responded to the pandemic. Peterson says the tribe is retiring the term service area and is bringing back tribal liaisons to meet tribal citizens where they are.
We hope to work with the local tribe to establish and place them there so that not only can they help our citizens navigate our programs, but they can help them to navigate local programs.
A lot of people wanted to know more about the tribe's broadband project. Its focus is to provide reliable internet connections to help with education, healthcare, and economic development. Internet access was also a central issue in the U.S. Secretary of Interior Deb Haaland's keynote address. She says Native communities were left behind long before the pandemic.
The pandemic put a spotlight on the disparities that already existed, including a lack of basic resources like running water, adequate health care, and functional broadband.
The American Rescue Plan Act, that's the federal COVID-19 stimulus law passed in March, tries to make up for those disparities. She says it's the biggest investment in Native communities the U.S. has ever made. Helland also says the Biden administration wants to include Indigenous people in discussions on climate change and clean energy. Helland is the first Indigenous person to hold the U.S. Secretary of the Interior position. Delegates say it was momentous that she came to Tlingit and Haida's tribal assembly.